A string of profanity is really the way to talk about creation.
A string of profanity is going to be the title of my autobiography.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Reverend Matt Kesson from Reverend Matt's Monster Science. He's here to talk about creationism, and not in the good way, in the that's a fucking stupid thing way.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Cheers.
And Nick Glover.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm the only one with booze.
So that's why you got to say cheers,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
And we are joined by a very special guest, returning guest, friend of the show, Matthew Kesson. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Tim. Hi. Glovers.
Hello. Yay.
So nice to be back.
Now, Matt, you do Reverend Matt's Monster Science.
That is correct, yes.
And so you know a lot about monsters.
He's the eponymous Reverend Matt.
I am, yes. yes, and monsters is a, in the way I use it, is a huge umbrella, a huge series of categories: fictional monsters, you know, movie monsters and stuff, mythological, cryptozoological, and also paleontological. And as a result of being very interested in paleontological creatures, I'm very interested in evolution, and that if it is my place to do so, is what we'll be talking about today.
Well, yeah, sure, it's your place to do
all
so.
Right.
You transitioned better than I would have.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah, so, thank you, Nick. given how many talks you've done, especially about dinosaurs, you've talked about evolution quite a bit.
Yes.
And so we are here not to talk about evolution.
Hmm.
We are here to talk about the opposite of evolution, as it were.
Yes.
We are here to talk about...
Which is where everything stays the same. Yes.
Yeah, devolution.
Devolution. No, we are here to talk about creationism.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I was hoping we could talk about Elvis-lution. So we are all becoming a more perfect Elvis.
Wow. Elvis
boats. Yes.
Yes.
Elvis boats.
Boom. Okay. All right. So, we're going to talk about creationism.
Creationism.
And creationism, if I may be so bold as to define it, is the belief that human and animal and plant life arose on this planet as spelled out in the book of Genesis of the Bible.
Well, right, yeah.
That's creationism.
Like word for word.
Sort of. I mean, the problem with even that is that this is one of those places where the Bible... immediately in the first two books of the Bible, it contradicts itself. The animals are created. The animals are created twice in Genesis. First in the 7-day series, and then again after Adam and Eve are created as things that can be of use.
Something
to them.
That Adam can have dominion over.
Precisely. Yeah. So
because Eve wasn't enough.
So
I don't know.
Well, there was only one of her at the time.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
what's the point of being human if you can't lord it over other things?
Bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So even a literal belief in Genesis is actually impossible, which is distressing in the first place. But yeah, the creationism believes that life on Earth was created in its present form by Mr. God, and that's, you know, I mean. I was going to say that's fine, but it's not.
It's not fine.
It's completely not fine.
Well, and there's a difference between... So there's different types of creationism, right? Like young earth creationism.
Sure.
And then like there's the people that try to like sidestep it by being like, I think God created the Big Bang, and that's where my creationism comes in. And
sure.
Like,
what's 7 days to a God?
Yeah.
And you know what? Those guys are... I don't agree with them, but they're
a lot less obnoxious.
More benign. They're not completely.
They're not the young Earth kind.
They're not completely anti-science like the young Earth kind are. And so the people who think that God, you know, guided evolution or whatever, fine, do your thing.
Do what you got to do mental leaps.
It just seems pointless to me, but it doesn't wreck the world like creationists try to, and you know, and they're not powerful enough to wreck the world, thank heaven, and not even now, knock wood. But yeah, but it is anti-science, obviously, and you know, selectively anti-science. Creationists still, you know, drive internal combustion vehicles and go and go to, you know, go to medical doctors when they're sick and that kind of thing.
They wear mixed fibers and shoes that were made on machines that were built by science.
Precisely.
Yes. Post their nonsense on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the best part.
Oh, I don't even know where to begin. I could just go on and on. But the thing about, I realized a couple of years ago that, because I've been made a livid fuming wreck by creationists my entire life, ever since I was a youth. I
have a difficult time envisioning you young.
Yeah, I was about the same size. I just didn't have the beard.
I had this love of a voice, but I was a lot younger.
Yeah, almost identical, just no beard.
Yeah.
More hair. I realized, like, somewhere in my 20s or 30s, why I hated them so much. I thought it was just because they were anti-science, and they are certainly that. And they're anti-science while trying to look like scientists, which is, remind me to come back around to that. Mm-hmm. But because that's another thing that infuriates me. But it's not just that they're anti-science, they're anti another thing. And I realized this when an old friend of mine who was into, like, outsider music and found music and stuff like that, and he would make me CDs of weird music that he'd gotten his hands on. And on one of the CDs, there were a couple of songs by two little Mormon, not by, but sung by two little Mormon girls. One about I Want to Be a Mother, one called I Want to Be a Mother, mm-hmm. and another one called I'm No Kin to the Monkey. And this one was, of course, about, you know, about how they weren't about how evolution was wrong, and there was a line in it that went, "It's such a disgrace to the monkey, a disgrace to the human race too." And I thought to myself, "You don't give a fuck about the monkey.
No.
You don't care about the monkey's dignity. That is the last thing you care about." And
it's your way of making it so that we can be like, "Oh, but the monkeys."
And that's
the poor monkeys to be related to us.
Yeah, well,
we are,
see, that I can sympathize with.
We are kind of douchebags.
We are terrible, but And I realized, ironically, I realized from that the thing that creationists hate, if you could have a theory of evolution that in which, you know, small dinosaurs evolved into birds and dogs evolved into wolves and all kinds of stuff like that, that left humans out, then that would be garbage science, obviously. But if somehow that worked, we wouldn't have creationists. There would be no such thing as creationists. Creationists, I mean, they'll go after Archaeopteryx. They'll go after other animals evolving into each other. But that's not what they fucking care about. They just go after that in service of their larger goal. What they care about is that humans evolved from apes and or animals in general, and they hate that.
Yes.
They can't stand that because they're people who go to the zoo and they look at the gorilla and they look at the zebras and they can only see the commonalities between the gorilla and the zebras and none of the commonalities between the gorilla and themselves because the gorilla and the zebras are both not wearing pants or speaking English, you know, and that's all they've got.
Pooping where they please and they've been captured.
Right.
Yeah.
But they don't look at the face and the hands and all of these spectacular commonalities between us.
The eye.
And all sorts of primates. Yeah.
For God's sake, they don't see
that. I mean, there's this thing where if you've ever seen like a chimpanzee that's been shaved, it looks like a weird looking dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an old guy.
Yeah. And creationists are incapable of seeing that because what they're most interested in is how spectacularly separate and apart and special humans are as compared to the other animals. And the only reason you would want that is because there's something wrong with animals, and that that horrifies me possibly even more than being anti-science, being wanting so badly to not be an animal. Tim,
I think at issue, at least in part, is the idea that we were created in God's image, the idea that we are special in the eyes of God. And the only way that works, especially from a Christian perspective, but really from an Abrahamic perspective, the only way that works is if we are demonstrably different from all other creatures.
And the thing is, we are, you know, I mean, there's all this, you know, art and music and there's all these things. All of this wonderful stuff is being done with animal intelligence. More and more is being demonstrated as far as abstract thinking mm-hmm. in non-human animals. And yet, for all of that, there's all this stuff that is unique to humans, you know? It's fine.
We've got enough, for fuck's sake.
There's all this stuff that we've done.
Why do we have to take it away from crows?
All these levels of abstract thought that is that are demonstrable in humans and not demonstrable in any other animal. And so we're fine. We're good. And so the irony for me personally, as far as creationism is concerned, is that creationism has sort of demonstrated to me the evolution is a theory that is science that means to be as cold and impersonal as possible. But what the creation and good, that's how you do science. But what creationism has demonstrated to me in its hatred for humans being connected to other animals is that evolution does arguably have a sort of implicit meaning, which is that evolution tells us we are connected to the other animals, that everything on Earth is of a blood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lions and zebras are of a blood, and the lion still kills the zebra and all that sort of thing. There's not necessarily a lot of real direct ethical meaning to this, but still, the idea that everything alive is connected to everything else alive is a beautiful one. And creationists just hate it.
But it's very anti-Christian, and it's very other world religions is the thing. Sure. I think it's a very pantheistic, animist way of looking at religion, to say that, like, we all have spirit, we all have souls, we all have this, like, commonality and connection.
The interconnectedness.
And it's very specifically anti-Christian in the sense that, like, their focus is on only people have souls,
sure.
you know, and because we have souls, we're the only ones who can go to heaven and all that nonsense. And, like, the idea that, you know, because we are this special thing, that somehow we were created in God's image, so he gave us that little extra, and it can't just be intelligence, and it can't just be communication and language and art. It has to be some intangible fucking right. supernatural thing that no one can prove. And that, I think, was a way of setting us apart from these pagan and more pantheistic religions right. back a long, long, long time ago.
Right.
These kinds of arguments and this kind of it's not anti-science, it's anti-nature.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the level that I came to understand.
It seems to me like it ties in readily with things that are very, very commonly go along with young Earth creationism, like sincere doubt in climate change.
Sure, right.
Because the animals were put there for us. Mm-hmm. The world was put there for us.
Right.
Like, all these resources are there for us to use.
As we see fit.
Right. And yeah. and I think it's inherently, like, that mindset, that philosophy is inherently damaging to the environment.
Oh, absolutely. Of course it is.
And damaging to us. And I think that we...
Well, because we're not separate.
Well, the use of creationism, another way that it damages us is in that it presumes that we are not connected. We are not interconnected right. with mm-hmm. the natural order of things. And that if we disrupt it, we're going to be fine.
Because we've right.
because we live outside
and
of it.
And ironically, why are we going to be fine? Because we've got science and we can figure out a way to live without
yeah,
it.
Or, exactly.
Like,
or,
we'll go to the moon. Or, we'll make skyscrapers that are bubbles and we can make our own environment. And it's just so fucked up.
Or because we'll use it all up and burn it to the ground, and that's when the rapture comes and God takes us all home.
I was going
to
say, or because of the rapture. The apocalyptic. Yeah.
That's even worse.
Of course, yes. No, I mean, funny thing, everybody knows about the dodo, of course, and the reason that the dodo is emblematic of extinction is because Western science, after the dodo went extinct, Western thought took about 10 years to admit it. And that's because up to this point, it had not been realized in Europe that extinction was a possibility.
It's got to be someone somewhere.
And the dodo was the first animal where Western thought was like, okay, wait a minute. Looks like we killed every last one of these, and it took them 10 years to figure that out. And partially because it's a big idea. I mean, if it doesn't mm-hmm. occur to you, then the idea of just for anyone,
was that the '20s?
No.
No, the dodos were back
in
the
1700s.
1700s, which means we were even less of a global,
century.
You know, society
exactly.
in the sense that it was very impossible. It'd be very difficult to say there's for sure no dodos on other continents.
But another reason why this was hard for Western thought to come by was what you're saying, Nick, about who said it? One of you said
who
it.
Knows?
Somebody said it about
we don't care
everything being created for us.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the idea that we could have killed every last one of them.
Look what God did to us,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, flew in the face of everything being made for us. And even once that happened, that got established and fine. Okay, so maybe God gives us stuff and we mess it up sometimes. But then it took another 150 years before it was realized that fossils were of animals that were entirely extinct. Same reason. Okay, maybe God gives us something and we kill every last one of it. But if we have these northern elephant skeletons, then somewhere out there there's northern elephants, because God doesn't make things. God doesn't make animals for anything other than our use.
Right. Or mistakes. Like, even if it wasn't there for our use, God didn't make them and then scrap them and start over and make us, because God doesn't make mistakes.
No, right. So
the devil put them there.
So Thomas Jefferson did a lot of work trying to find mammoths and mastodons. They'd been defined, and they had to be out there somewhere. He told Lewis and Clark to look for them.
Boy.
He sent his own agents out into areas on the East Coast to ask local indigenous people if they knew of any giant animals with arms coming out of their heads. And delightfully, what the indigenous people told his agents more often than not was, oh, yeah. Go about 100 miles that way, over them hills there. Yeah. You'll be drowning in giant animals.
First thing you need to do is get the fuck away from me.
100 miles away, which is amazing. But I'm off topic.
I'm assuming, just based on what I know of you personally, that when you were a kid, you were very into dinosaurs,
yes,
fossils and things. And so I also was very much into this. And I also have been enraged by creationism long before I ever was even nurturing any kind of budding atheism, honestly.
Sure.
Like, creationism was something that just made me so angry from the start when I was a kid, because I read a kid's version of Charles Darwin's stuff and all the stuff about evolution, and was really into it, and was like, fossils are proof and they're facts and they're things you can hold in your fucking hands, and I don't understand how people are saying that they're made up. And I would get so mad, and I actually had an aunt on my father's side that would say the whole, like, the devil put those there to trick you.
Okay.
The devil put them there to trick you. And that's
infuriating. Here's another thing that's infuriating for me. Dig this. Okay. Give me a minute here. Okay. First of all, every so often, an animal is born or hatched or whatever with some deviation from the genes of its parents. Fact. Observed time and time again.
Yep.
Undeniable fact. Two, life is hard for the forest animals. Most born animals do not live to breeding age, to say nothing of multiple breeding opportunities for multiple breeding. Therefore, an animal that has a beneficial mutations exist.
Yep.
If that mutation is beneficial, then it will aid in surviving into breeding cycles, and therefore it will breed more often than the ones without that mutation. Evolution demonstrated.
Yeah.
It took me 2.5 minutes.
Basically, how that kid's book laid it out for
me.
Now I'm gonna. I agree. But I'm going to point out...
Are you going to play devil's planting bones advocate?
No, I'm not going to play devil's planting bones advocate. I'm going to point out the alternative, the response to that, which is that creationists, young earth creationists, accept evolution is happening now. They do not accept that evolution happened the way it was described prior to 6,000 years ago, when theoretically the Earth was created. Their argument is that, sure, I can watch bacteria evolve into new kinds of bacteria because that's there.
Antibiotic
but
resistant.
You can't show me, and I've heard shit, that Australian stupid asshole.
Ken Ham.
No, the other one. The one with the banana.
Asshole.
Oh, banana hands.
We watched his movie. And
yeah,
it was
we
terrible.
Did.
Anyway, I don't remember his name because fuck him. But look, he like has asked. He will ask people that
Ray
support
Comfort.
Ray Comfort.
Ray Comfort. That's the fucker.
I found
that
by googling Christian banana guy.
He will say, all right, but have you ever seen a dog turn into a completely different animal?
And the answer, weirdly, is more or less yes.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
But I mean, like now.
Yeah, no, and again.
Yeah, but they're still dogs.
Yeah.
But that's what's amazing is, like, that someone can take a species that has that much variety within its species and be like, nah, Yeah. Like this just.
But his argument, and I don't.
God
agree
made
with
every
it.
Single it's, one of these fucking designer breeds.
It's dumb, but the mental hurdle you cannot get them to jump, and the hill they will die on is. But if you crossbreed dogs, they are still unquestionably dogs.
and of course, oh, we could just go on and on. But the observable bacterial evolution is as opposed to observable dog evolution is because the measure of time. The unit of time by which evolution is measured is generations. And that is and that varies from species to species. And
sure.
and a generation for a bacteria is 35 seconds and a generation for a dog is 2 years, and that means it's going to occur much, much more slowly for dogs.
I agree.
Brought it up.
But so frustrating is there's no reason. The thing is, evolution sort of needs a reason, and there's no reason for dogs to evolve into another animal right now.
This is true.
They're perfectly well taken care of as regular dogs.
Counterpoint, there is a reason. I need a companion that's more adorable.
frankly, the splitting of dogs into a bunch of breeds is technically evolution.
Yeah.
It's evolution that we did on purpose, yep. but it is various genetic traits being selected for.
Some people wanted mean ones, and some people wanted cute
outside
ones.
Influence
and
is that these primates fucking put some of them together and yep. kept some of them apart, and that is a factor as much as anything else.
Chihuahuas yeah. evolved the shaking that they do. That is not something they have evolved over time because it made them get more taken care of.
Sure,
the big eyes too.
The trembling made people go, oh, they're cold, and yes, hold them, which made them get away from any other kind of predator. Dogs or other getting trampled or whatever else.
Kept and bred as companions.
They're chihuahuas.
They're under
threat from rats.
Yep.
Big eyes and a tremble is a
big mouse could take out a chihuahua.
big eyes and a tremble like plays right to our instinct to take care of like babies.
Yep.
And checkmate, chihuahua. Good job. Like, you got us there. You took advantage of.
Exactly.
A little piece of our brain.
So one thing that I think is very frustrating from creationists, like the Creationism Museum, is the way that they try to use science against evolution
in ways
that don't understand science.
Yes. I got one thing to say about the creationist Museum and something to say about creationists and science. What I have to say about the Creationist Museum is that I have a startling number of friends who go to the Creationist Museum and take pictures of themselves with the humans, you know, taming dinosaurs exhibits and all that sort of thing. And I have one thing to say, and they're good, fine people, and I'm not mad, but I just would like to say that your irony dollars can be used by creationists in the same way as regular dollars.
It's still money.
So stop it. Stop giving them money, even if you're kidding, because they don't care if you're kidding.
Take pictures of yourselves outside, giving it the finger, and don't go in.
Take pictures of throwing Molotov cocktails at it.
No, not if your face is identified.
You don't want any evidence of that.
Precisely.
Use gloves.
As far as science is concerned, it is, I suppose, pleasing testament to the power of science in our society that they do everything in their power to look like scientists when they're just plainly and spectacularly not. And so, yay for the primacy of science. But, I mean, like, there's this thing where they will trot out, at every opportunity, they will trot out PhDs who will tell you about creationism.
Whose PhDs are in, like biblical studies. And, like, it's always like, what are you a doc? What's your doctorate in? Oh, like, divinity?
Well,
like.
And if they do, in fact, trot out a biologist or a geologist or two, for every PhD... the creationists trot out, we can trot out literally 10,000 PhDs. and so it's just this baffling mental gymnastics, as you said earlier, that look, we are legitimate because we have a PhD. No, see, if you're saying PhDs are legitimate, you fucking lose. You lose instantly. And so trying to claim scientific authority, which they consistently do and have none of, is just baffling to me, and it's just another symptom of the whole thing being founded on just bad thinking. I don't mean bad premises.
If Matt has a stroke while he's talking, it's because of creationism.
Well, it's just like the doctors in the 50s commercials in the lab coats who are smoking cigarettes talking about how Pall Malls have the Q factor, and that's how you know they extra like help your vitamin uptake. You know,
I'm
and
a it's doctor.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I'm a doctor and I smoke. So.
Yeah, it's how work training safety videos. Have you ever? I had to see a work training safety video for Panikuken Hoofs when I was 16. And they had a guy in a lab coat who was like, many accidents occur within a kitchen. And as you may know, deadly accidents can occur when one is not safe. Because, like, I guess a doctor in a lab coat made me feel more confident about me falling in a kitchen.
But at least he's not lying. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was a thing where we all heard about intelligent design for a little while. And it gained this ascendancy. And then it went away. And the reason it went away was because they actually tried to do a Scopes trial. They brought it to trial in rural Pennsylvania in Kitzmiller versus Dover versus the Dover Board of Education, and they went up against this George W. Bush appointed Republican judge, and like leaders in the intelligent design movement were like, whoa, no, don't bring this to trial yet, guys, we're not ready for trial, but they did it anyway.
Yeah.
And again, W appointed Republican judge who said to the, you know, and it all started up and at the beginning he said, well, looks like what we're talking about here is whether intelligent design is a science in the same way that evolution is. So here's how we're going to do this. We're just going to have evolution and intelligent design plead their scientific cases here in court.
Because the point was whether it could be taught in schools, right?
Like, right.
Yeah.
And this, of course, and once he decided that this was going to be the format of the trial, this, of course, was the end.
Right.
Because intelligent design just didn't fucking have anything.
Didn't have any proof.
Didn't have proof.
They've got banana hands over
I
there.
I saw the
They're
judge.
They're like, look at how beautiful this sunset is.
Like, I saw the judge a couple years after, I went to a talk that the judge gave when I was living on the East Coast, and there was a Q&A afterwards, and some young dipshit asked, well, shouldn't they just teach both anyway? And like, not according to anything that we've been saying for the last 45 minutes, but he says, I just don't know what intelligent design would do with the time. They don't have anything.
Yeah.
It's
a way to cram the Bible into schools. That's all it is.
I've got a quote from his statement, his
excellent.
Fantastic.
Yeah, his opinion.
Yeah.
His opinion just tore into them, and it's brilliant and hilarious, and it's one of my favorite things. I'd just like to read one quote from it relevant to what we're saying now. Intelligent design's backers have sought to avoid the scientific scrutiny which we have now determined that it cannot withstand by advocating that the controversy, but not intelligent design itself, should be taught in science class. This tactic is at best disingenuous and at worst a canard. The goal of the intelligent design movement is not to encourage critical thought, but to foment a revolution which would supplant evolutionary theory with intelligent design. And don't know. It's, we have now determined it cannot.
Yeah, intelligent design is effectively old earth creationism. The idea that, evolution happened, but God was guiding it the whole way to make sure people came about.
The watchmaker thing that we talked about before, and like the Ray Comfort banana hands is a big part of that. The whole like, how could a banana fit so perfectly into our hands if it wasn't designed to be that way?
Banana hands,
you know what else we eat? Watermelons.
Yeah.
You know what the thing about watermelons? They're super hard to get into unless you have tools and stuff. You know, I mean,
coconuts
are a real pain in the ass.
You ever tried to roast and eat a chicken just off the bone? Like, it's a pain in the ass.
And besides that, there is also an evolutionary principle of coevolution, where two things evolve to some kind of symbiosis. And so it is actually on the table that bananas evolved to be openable by primates, so that we would spread the seeds that are contained in the fruit.
Yep.
So
because we poop them out, and then hooray for that.
Yeah. So it is. Giant stinking mess.
So, you know, we could rip on creationists all day, and they deserve it.
They do.
But I think we have to get on to five questions.
Right,
now,
fine.
Matt, you have been on our podcast before, not too long ago.
Yes.
You've answered our current five questions, that means there's only one option, which is, this being your second time on the podcast, you have to provide five questions to us.
Yes.
For us to answer. Have you done so?
I have done so, sir.
Excellent.
Huzzah.
Well, then, why don't you ask us your first question?
All right. If for some reason you had to worship some deity from some pantheon or from some monotheistic thing, but I'm thinking more in terms of the various multi-theistic religions.
Yeah,
yeah. If you had to worship some single deity, what deity would it be and why?
A single deity, I think I would go with Athena.
She's pretty sweet.
Because yeah, I just feel like the wisdom, she was good at hunting, she was fast, she was clever. She's the one that was born out of the head, just a skull. Yeah, and so like that I just feel like that's a badass way to be born into the world, and yeah. I could see bringing my laurel and other offerings to her temple, and also all the ancient Greek stuff has always always just chuffed my buns.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a goddess. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, goddess of war and wisdom. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Something Sumerian. I don't know. Enki, Marduk.
Excellent choices.
Something like it's primal enough and far enough away where it's like even when you get into the more like Roman or Greek pantheons, it's more like people than forces. I think if you go back a little bit further, they're more like forces than people.
Sure. Things are very primordial with the Mesopotamians.
We can worship a god that is basically just a season. Or,
sure.
You know,
sure.
Yeah.
Hey, we all need water. Water's pretty great. Like, that's, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would go something that way.
Excellent.
I'm going to go with Hades, and let me tell you why. The reason I would go with Hades is because the Greeks, especially when it came to punishments in the afterlife, were remarkably creative.
Yeah.
I mean, Sisyphus is a Greek creation. And I feel like if I worship Hades, I've got a better chance of not getting screwed over for eternity. So, I mean, and that you know, like life is short. Eternity is forever.
Quite
yeah.
So why not be on the good side of the guy with the most control over my experience in the long run?
Excellent.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do I answer it as well?
Please,
sure.
By all means.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go with Thoth, the Egyptian god. Yes, the Egyptian god of writing and scholarship, just because those are mighty fine things to be a god of, and not a lot of other pantheons have one of those.
I almost went with Bast. I was very close to that. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
You can worship Thoth, and nobody can tell you have a lisp.
Oh.
So,
and also,
is that how people with lisps ask for help?
Also, if I may move on. Also, Thoth has a bird head. Also, Thoth has the head of an ibis, and so that's good.
Yeah,
business.
It's pretty
I
sweet.
Like all the Egyptian gods are baller because they're like total tahine. Like they're just yeah.
All the Egyptian gods are baller.
They are.
Wally Glover.
Okay, buy raw today in stores.
All right, question number two.
Question number two: what non-deity fictional character would you worship if you had to worship a non-deity fictional character?
Ooh.
Ooh. Like, was I supposed to start last time? I thought there was some talk.
No.
Okay.
No, you're doing great.
No, you're doing great. You asked these. He gave us these questions ahead of time, but I must be clear that I spent zero time thinking about them before I got on the podcast. Even though that just means there's dead air while I think about it now.
That's fine. So we'll have you talk last.
Okay.
My first instinct is to say like Captain America,
sure,
because you know he stands for a lot of good stuff, but it's just so jingoistic. Like you'd feel sure. Worshiping America,
right?
In a sense, I mean it's right there in the name. But so I'll say Spider-Man. Because
excellent.
With great power comes great responsibility. There's a good godly origin story there that involves like the death of parents and a family member and all that. That
right.
Seems like you would make a good book, like a good religious book.
Right, right.
Big fan of Spider-Man.
Yeah, I think Spider-Man would be good for that because it's just like it would match well with the plight of like the everyday person.
Nice.
Where they're trying to
nice.
You know balance their important stuff with their you know. Big stuff that's bigger than mortal stuff at the same time. I like that.
Excellent.
Oh, boy. So I'm assuming that the Endless from Sandman would be considered somewhat deities because they
are
to some degree deities. So otherwise, I would have gone with someone one of there. But I'm going to say, and in part because I know he would hate it, Roland Deschain from the Dark Tower series.
Uh-huh.
Because he is the epitome and the personification of dogged endurance. And
right.
Endurance is something that I personally feel very attached to.
Right.
It's something that I consider to be my favorite trait of myself is the ability to continue on. on against all odds, and I think that that's something he does. He would hate being worshipped.
Right.
It would make him so angry, but that almost makes it better because I don't want to worship him either.
Right.
I don't want to worship anything. So right. We're both very exactly. angry about this situation.
Right. Yeah, mine would be mine touches on things that both of you said. Mine would be Supergirl.
Yeah, she's
because
awesome.
much as with what Nick said about Spider-Man, you've got an origin story that mm-hmm. has, you know, that has a religious sort of weight to it. Come from the skies, the second to last of her race,
yeah.
And all that. And as Molly was saying, also, she would not want to be worshipped for a second.
Right.
She would be mortified oh, yeah. by being worshipped.
She'd be like, you be my cousin.
Yeah.
Like,
and yeah, and I also, and assuming that I have to worship and I have to be into it, I still want to worship. It's like politics. I don't want to vote for anyone who wants to be president.
Exactly.
And I don't want to worship anyone who wants to be worshipped. And then also, as I grow older and older, and the world grows worse and worse, I'm more and more interested in aspirational characters. You know,
mm-hmm.
characters that are just good, characters that just want to help and are positive and stuff. And
I get
so, cynicism's easy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, Supergirl.
Tim, it's time.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to go with Yoda. And he also would not want to be worshipped. But I feel like somebody who worshipped Yoda, because the one thing about Yoda that is consistent with Yoda, no matter what fans say about The Last Jedi, the one thing that is consistent about Yoda is nobody fucking listens to him.
One, those aren't fans. Yeah. Two, yeah. Continue.
Nobody ever, I mean, Yoda, every time he opens his mouth, he basically says, you should do the exact thing that they should do and they never do. And if you worship Yoda, you would be like, all right.
Right. I'll do
that. I will do that because you are God.
And it's going to work out.
And it's going to work out.
The wisest character, yeah.
Because every time he says he gives somebody a warning about how this is a really bad idea, he's freaking right.
Absolutely.
Don't train Anakin Skywalker. That's basically Yoda is really clear about that.
Right, right, right.
He's really clear. And right. I don't mm-hmm. like to make a reference to the prequels, and I don't do that lightly.
Yeah,
but I'm saying even as far back as that,
right.
Yoda was right on the money.
Absolutely. The story of the prequels holds up. It's the execution that's flawed.
Yeah. Right. Yoda was like,
die on this.
Yoda's like, don't go to Cloud City.
Yeah.
He was right on
yep,
that.
Bad He's, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Yoda's also kind of like that, got that coyote god thing to him where it's like,
yeah.
you look at him and you're like, yeah, fuck this little green Muppet. Like, I'm not going to take anything he has to say seriously. But then, like, but in then, his, you know, droid smacking with a stick and
then he burns down your ancient
sticks.
Library temple.
Right, yeah. He's
no, funny Yoda's the best Yoda.
Yeah, so yeah. Yoda I feel good about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, question number three,
and this one's a little bit specialized, but what is something that you would change about the history of evolution? I'm going to go first on
yeah,
this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah,
okay. yeah. To
establish the basic premise of the question.
Yeah,
it's dominant. It happens in primates.
Not the history, not the history of the theory of evolution, but rather the history of life on Earth.
Yes.
So this is a big specialized one. I'm going to go with mine. It's real simple. Anyone who knows me at all will guess what it is, and that is the extinction of the dinosaurs. The extinction of the dinosaurs is bad news, and I'm against it.
I prefer to be torn apart by them on a daily basis.
Well, see, if dinosaurs... I mean, you occasionally get these things where, like the good dinosaur, you occasionally get these alternate universes where the dinosaurs don't go extinct and humans still evolve. Wrong.
Yeah,
wrong!
Right. Now we're so
humans
food.
Humans aren't climbing down from no trees if there's dinosaurs on the ground.
We live underground. We become lizard people.
Yeah,
that's what if it's no like chance. A Savage Land situation where there's a dinosaur continent.
Sure.
And they just are there and we still happen and all that, but don't go to dinosaur land. It sounds like a theme
like,
park.
Like the dinosaurs end up on Australia.
Sure.
And we just don't go there.
That's why? Do they commit crimes against the crown?
Yeah, yes. That's a lovely idea that I'm very much for, but my answer to this question, what would you change about the history of evolution, is just the extinction of the dinosaurs, period.
All right. I got mine. All right. Mine is I wish that we had gills.
God damn it, that was going to be mine.
I would like gills. I would like to be amphibious. I don't want to be underwater creatures only. I would like to be amphibious and to be able to have gills that could then somehow be just moistened on a daily basis. We would have shelves of moistening products at Target, scented and men scented versus female. We're very, very gendered moistening products for our needs. But also then I could be underwater for as much long as I want and it would be lovely.
That would have to go very deep. I mean, all mammals.
We'd have to go way back. It'd be way back. All mammals would have gills. That's I want us all to have gills. Yeah. I want us, except for the weirdo mammals who evolved to not have gills, and they have dominance over the dry
land. Marsupials, no gills. No gills for marsupials. Yeah.
Like, you know what? Oh, man, I should have gone with pouch, but you know what? I'm going to stick to gills. Well, I'm going
to
stick to gills.
So we'd need like nictitating membranes or something to go with that, though, right? Like, wouldn't we really need something?
All right, let's not get into details.
Yeah, anyway, mine is our spines suck.
Our spines
oh,
suck.
Yeah.
I would say that, you know, that's like my biggest argument against intelligent design is
all the crap, all the bad evolution.
Yeah.
My neck hurts a lot for intelligent design.
Yeah. Human bodies are garbage.
Yeah, they are.
Like they completely rely on gravity to get things done, and our spines are weak to gravity. We're never designed to walk upright.
We're born way too early.
Yeah, It's
no pouch to gestate in.
Yeah, no gills. Come on. But yeah, I think I would make it so that our spines would you know actually be designed to walk upright.
Or maybe
we just wouldn't walk upright.
I feel really bad that I stole gills because Tim looks really, really
I've got something, and you've had me hit on something better.
Let me just say, Tim, if we had gills, that would mean a lot more fish in your life. But
I'd probably be okay with it. I don't know. Anyway, so I would like for cetaceans to have not returned to the ocean.
Okay.
Because land dolphins sound really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I would totally be into that
The intermediary form between land animals and cetaceans were carnivorous mammals that evolved into a crocodilian niche.
I like crocodiles.
Yeah,
crocodiles are great, but I still want land dolphins.
FYI. Okay.
I like crocodiles better than alligators because crocodiles don't roll you.
like you walking through the woods and off in the distance you hear like screeching and frolicking and it's like, oh, that's just the land dolphins doing, doing their thing.
It's the land dolphins fucking because dolphins.
I can't wait to go see Shamu at Landworld.
Okay. Right.
And so yes, I know he's an orca. Calm the fuck down.
Most of our objections have to do with water. All right.
Yeah. It's like the one place we can't go, kind of.
We just want to be in the water more often.
Yeah, I guess.
Question. Well, you know, we started there. We want to return there. Our lizard brain.
Nick can attest
actually
to this. We just got back from vacation. I very much like being in the ocean, and only partly because of the basic nudity that can occur. Like, you can wear a swimsuit all goddamn day, and no one gives a shit. You put on your bra and panties, and all of a sudden everyone's like, I don't want to see you in your underwear. And I'm like, this is less revealing than what I was just wearing all day. But fine.
All right, question number four.
If we were all animal people, like in a Zootopia or, to go deeper, Usagi Yojimbo type situation, thank you. what animal would you be?
Ursine.
A bear?
Yeah. Something.
Makes perfect sense.
I like to sleep. I'm like cuddly. Like, you could like curl up on me and take a nap.
Also, you will fight when necessary. You don't like to, but when you do, you mean. Like, you'll defend yours. Yeah.
And like, you know, wandering from A to B is usually in search of food. Yeah, bear, definitely. I'm hirsute.
Very good.
That's a good one. I think for me, it would have to be a tiger.
Excellent.
Because, you know, I'm a cat person generally. And,
sure.
And when it comes to cats, tigers are pretty much the best.
Ooh.
I mean, they are. They're
yeah,
the best
I'm a
lion cat.
Man myself, yeah.
Lions are okay, but tigers are better.
If a cat ain't in a tree, what's the point?
Lions are fine, but tigers are better.
All right.
Yeah.
I know everyone's thinking I'm going to say goat, but I don't think that's accurate for me personally. I think I would probably be a hedgehog. Did you know that hedgehogs travel at least a mile every night? They run, they walk a lot. They move a lot. They actually can go miles or two at a time. Now, if that was, I think that also I am a little bit prickly on the outside. I'm often told that I am intimidating and people don't necessarily want to talk to me, or they do, and then I say something awful because I don't know what I'm doing and I accidentally make some rude comment that makes them decide that, oh, she doesn't like me, and they never talk to me again. My spikes won't hurt you. You just have to hold me right. And I have a soft little tender underbelly and also grubs.
Excellent. Very good.
Hedgehogs are the distance runners of
They go a long way. If you ever had a pet hedgehog, you know that in order to keep them happy, you have to give them a whole lot of like those balls that they can run in that are like gigantic plastic balls that they can just run around in all the time. And like, yeah, they very much need those. Otherwise, they will go nuts.
Excellent.
Yes. Huh. What about you?
I'll go with Komodo dragon because I'm very, very large.
Yes.
I prefer not to move at all if I have any choice in the matter. And then I value intelligence a very great deal, and Komodo dragons are not terribly intelligent, but in most cultures where animals are given, you know, given symbolic traits, lizards are almost always attached to wisdom.
Mm. Also, the sepsis.
Is your saliva also poisonous?
Yeah. And my saliva is poisonous. So there we go. Yeah. So abracadabra. Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
Okay. Perfect.
Question number 5:
Star Trek, Star Wars, or Doctor Who?
Bum bum bum.
I thought about this. So, all right. I'm just gonna ignore the Doctor Who component because it's important to my history of being a nerd. It's not important to any of my interests now. That's not a feeling of Doctor Who. I just kind of grew out of it. So the best Star Trek is way better than the best Star Wars, but the worst Star Wars is way better than the worst Star Trek.
Mm. These are facts, as far as I'm concerned.
And so if it's an ideal situation, if it's the best of the best, I'm a Star Trek person.
Sure.
I love what it stands for. I love the hope it gives humanity. I love the goal it provides us. But Star Trek is easy to fuck up. It's easy to get wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy to let any science fiction writer get a hold of it and do whatever they want as a pet project. It's easy to write Spock's brain.
Yeah.
Star Wars is more middle range. It's safer, fun.
Sure.
It's safer fun. So it's...
Which one you pick?
I pick Star Trek, because if we're talking like the ideal, we're talking like the best Star Trek is better than the best Star Wars. Mm.
Tim?
Agreed.
Well, you're making me go next?
I am.
Fuck. this is hard. I
know.
I love all three. Now
we can make Matt go next.
I can go next.
Go next, Matt.
I don't really have much to say, though.
God damn it.
Because Nick basically took all of mine.
Oh.
I was going to say exactly the same thing about the best and the worst. And it's absolutely true. Doctor Who, I also like Doctor Who very much, but it just doesn't live in my heart in the same way that either of the stars do. And so, for me, rather than to say the best Star Trek is better than the... Because it's the same variance in both cases, and so it's tricky. For me, Spock is a character that means more to me than any character in Star Wars.
Sure.
Personally. So, yeah. both, as being about intelligence, also just being about just this sort of blithe, unquestioned virtue, you know, like when he goes to sacrifice himself in Star Trek 2, he just fucking, you know, McCoy tries to tell him he can't do it, and he's like, the hell I can't,
it's straight up compassionate math.
What's to be done, and then also, I just adore Spock as the justified outsider, because they kind of make a joke of it, but it still kind of doesn't work. Where one of them, Kirk says to him, "Why, Mr. Spock? I believe you're becoming more human all the time." And he says, "I see no reason to stand here and be insulted." And that's perfect. That's wonderful. I love that. The justified outsider. Wonderful.
Yeah. You want me to go?
I'm gonna go with Doctor Who.
Oh.
And the reason I'm going to go with Doctor Who is a purely storytelling perspective, in that Doctor Who early on came up with the most brilliant way to last forever, which is to be able to recreate the main character anytime they want. And when they recreate the main character, what they can do is recreate that main character's personality. Mm-hmm. Then they can recreate the personality of the show. And while it is fair to argue that perhaps the best Star Trek is better than the best Doctor Who, and definitely the worst Doctor Who is on par with the worst Star Trek.
Oh, if not considerably worse.
For some of the same cheesy reasons.
I mean, you can fuck up Doctor Who, and yet when you do Doctor Who right, it is transcendent. And the same can be said of Star Trek, but I think Star Trek is even a little more trapped in its structure at times than Doctor Who is. And so that's why I am going to go with Doctor Who, and I will say that it pains me. Therefore,
understood.
I will pass on.
All right. I am going to go with Star Trek. Now, this may be very surprising. Nick is making a face at his surprise. And here's why.
We're all killing Star Wars.
No. And here's why. Star Wars sees the world in black and white, which is something that I normally can totally espouse and get behind with my autistic black and white brain. However, the way it sees things in black and white to me is illogical. I don't like that there are child soldiers. I don't like that there is an ultimate evil and an ultimate good, and no one ever sees the gray areas in between. I don't like that there's mystical magic space force shit that can just make things happen Deus Machina style. There are some moments, my biggest moments where I'm like, with Star Wars have all been force stuff happening inexplicably, with the answer and the explanation being the force.
Yeah.
And it just, to me, as much as I love Star Wars is my heart. Star Wars is what I love in that like popcorn fun way.
Sure.
But like, if I had to pick which one is objectively better, I got to go Star Trek, because I really identified a lot. Next Generation was more my Star Trek than old stuff. I watched a lot of the older, the first generation stuff with my mom, but Data spoke a lot to me. The way that he was, and yes, I understand he's a robot, and I get that this is very like stereotypical, but like the way that he was trying so hard to learn around the people around him because he cared about that, not just about them, but about learning and adapting. And I really appreciated that women were seen on a par. There's never any part where it's like, really though, a girl? Like,
right.
And the original trilogy of Star Wars is kind of sexist, and I didn't really get behind it. But like, Star Trek never felt that way. Even when Kirk was boning his way through the galaxy, like, it still felt like there was enthusiastic consent and they were very excited to see this man of the stars.
There's
like,
this... I'm sorry.
No, please.
There's this one thing in original Star Trek in the Naked Time where Sulu's all greased up and running around with a rapier, and he comes onto the bridge and he grabs Uhura and he says, "I'll protect you, fair maiden." And she says, "Sorry, neither." And I'm like, "Holy shit!" 1960. I mean, you could scarcely get away with that now, man.
But like, and more specifically, just the concept of like, we've evolved beyond war. To some degree, the Federation policies, all this concept of space exploration, the Prime Directive, like all that stuff, I can really get behind. And so, it is a photo finish, but I got to go Star Trek.
All right, and Star Wars is gone.
Yes, gone. Oh no!
Oh.
If only we had $200,000, we could remake it and make it better.
we all just are in favor of fully automated luxury gay space communism. I mean,
the holodeck sounds pretty awesome.
I just don't like that they made all the women and the people of color get parts in my Star Wars. Luke Skywalker is a much more badass than he was shown. He's not a pussy.
Sorry, I just had to like...
Somebody just ran in here. I don't know who that was.
I was possessed by a butthurt ghost. It was weird.
Yeah, that was weird. I am going to point out that if The Last Jedi carry through with what they were doing in The Last Jedi, I think there is going to be more gray in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
No, for sure. Which is why I love the new ones so much more.
And Solo really played with the concept of the gray areas in the Star Wars universe.
Yep.
But that is a different podcast for a different time.
Ask me again in 2 years.
Right?
I think we can all agree that all three of those things were created.
Agreed.
They can never take that away from us.
Bringing us back to the subject of the podcast. Matt,
they were intelligent.
You Reverend Matt's Monster Science many times. I don't know the exact date this is going up. So rather than telling us what's coming up, why don't you tell people where they can find all of the information about all the things you do? Because you have like one of these shows a week, it seems.
About two or three a month at least. Yeah. Rev Matt's MonsterScience.com. Look up Reverend Matt's Monster Science on Facebook, Rev Matt 3000 on Instagram, and just Rev Matt K on Twitter. And this information will be all over the place.
I recommend all of it. He does something quarterly called Reverend Matt's Monster Ensemble, where he brings in a bunch of people on a specific topic, and it's pretty awesome. It's free.
Yes, it
totally
is free.
Yes,
and it's just in like September.
Yeah, the last one was unicorns, and I wrote a story about a unicorn apocalypse,
it was
a thing.
It was really good.
So anyway, thank you very much for being with us, Matt. We've been Geeks Without God. We're going to be back next week, which has been a consistent thing for us ever since we started.
Almost 6 years.
I know.
And speaking of Star Trek, Melinda Snodgrass at Convergence.
Yay!
We'll see you there.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
Saying you didn't come from monkeys is technically true, and yet still useless.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize has more authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Creationists are dumb.